You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as the community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. After you said you could do it, all I could think in my head was...
That I was the wind beneath your wings.
No.
No.
But I was thinking, I think I can.
All right.
All right. Well, go to newchurches.com and download the exclusive State of Church Planning Research Report for free. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins. Is that your sound effect?
That I was just being the wind beneath your wings.
Hey, you actually have a pretty good voice for singing. You did that falsetto stuff earlier.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, today's question is from Samuel Cutshall, who was in the early stages of planting a missional church. Let's listen to his question.
Hey, guys. My name is Samuel Cutshall, and I'm currently in the very early stages of planting a missional church in a small town in Central Florida called Wildwood. Wildwood is a very conservative area with a multitude of churches, but only one or two that are active in serving the community. My question for you is this: how do you disciple Christian adults to live on mission who believe they're called to live on mission, but aren't actually willing to open their lives to others? I look forward to hearing your answer.
Man, that was a good question, Samuel. I think you nailed it, because there are so many churches who are in the exact same place as you, where they say, yes, I see the call to the Great Commission. I see the call to go out, be missional, to go make disciples, but then they're not actually doing it.
No, there's a difference between what is aspirational and what is actual.
Yeah.
So in so many instances, you have churches who, you know, will have a vision statement or purpose statement or values, and they'll be like, every member on mission, which is a great way of saying missional. But the reality of the situation is they don't have anything to make sure that that is happening. So they have no measurements in place. They have no systems and processes in place. I think in a previous episode, we talked about conviction, culture, and constructs. Mm-hmm. Did we not?
Well, why don't you unpack it just quickly right now?
Well, this is really Eric Geiger's thing, it's conviction. Most churches have a biblical conviction. It's that they don't have the culture, the personal behaviors that are just part of everyday church life that make up the culture of the place. And then lastly, they don't have the systems and processes in place to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So whenever you have a misalignment of culture, conviction, and constructs, you're toast. I mean, you know, if you ultimately want to have a great impact, you're going to make sure that you have those things. So many churches will get frustrated because they'll have a clear, you know, vision, and they'll even have a good culture. But if they don't have the systems and processes in place, man, it's not gonna happen. Yeah. Or worse, sometimes they'll have a clear conviction and they'll have clear constructs, but they don't have culture. Mm. And so instead of frustration, you're gonna get exhaustion.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Samuel, going back to your question, not only is it conjecture, you know, where people say they want to live on a mission but actually aren't doing it. But our research that we did at Lifeway, it's the transformational discipleship research, actually portrays that as well. So, I mean, you can pick up the book Transformational Discipleship, How People Really Grow by Eric Geiger, Michael Kelly, and Philip Nation. But in that book, they talk about the 8 attributes of a healthy disciple. And one of those attributes was this thing called sharing Christ. Now, this, you know, it's coming to my mind because I recently taught a seminar at the Canadian Church Planning Congress back in October, and I was talking about this specific Canadian research. So 61% pray at least once a month for non-Christians, but only 3% intentionally spend time building friendships with non-Christians. Whoops. For the purpose of sharing Christ with them, right?
Yeah. Living on mission. I do not think you know what this means.
Yeah, and here's the other
thing. You think you know what it means, but I don't think you know what it means.
Yeah, and then 58% said they felt comfortable sharing their faith, but over the last 6 months, over 80% didn't even share their faith with anyone.
Yeah.
Right. So it's one thing for people to say, oh yeah, I know how to share my faith, or I want to be missional. But I mean, you have to, once again, conviction, culture, constructs. You got to give people the constructs or the roadmap or the first steps or even illustrations from your sermon to be able to understand, okay, what do I need to do to start doing that?
Well, and here's a shocker for all of us, whether, you know, from pastor to pew sitter, there is a knowledge application gap that all of us have.
Yeah.
What we know are, you know, the knowledge that we have of who God is, who Christ is, what he's done for us, and the gap in the application of what we're actually doing.
Yeah.
So it's easy for us to sit here in a makeshift studio and throw rocks at people for the gap between what their knowledge and application is when we have that ourselves. I mean, we, you know, when you say those statistics, I have to go back and say, okay, well, man, I can't believe those people. And then you go, well, okay, when's the last time I shared Christmas with somebody?
It is
something that should be convicting for all of us. But the big piece there is, I would say, it has to be a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. And the way that you embed culture is by celebrating, is by measuring. I mean, there's a number of different ways that you can embed that in your culture, but people have to see it up front. They have to see it modeled and they have to see it celebrated. And you have to have those, reinforced by the systems and processes and the things in your organization that are a part of every day and make it hum.
Yeah. And I mean, an example of a few of the constructs that you can do to present or help your church do that. I mean, Community Christian Church, Dave and John Ferguson, they have this one called Bless, right? And that one is begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and story. So imagine every day if you were to encourage your church to say, hey guys, every day do one of these letters, you know, or every day start with beginning with prayer and ask, Lord, who do you want me to be with today? Who do you want me to, Lord, open my eyes? And then the next one is to listen. Listen in, when you're in conversation with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with other friends, just to listen. Don't just always share and speak, but see what's going on in their life. And then eat with them regularly. Serve them. And then that's when an opportunity will come up for you to share your story. Another great example is Jeff Vanderstelt with Soma. You can check out, he illustrates this all in his book, Saturate. But they have this thing called the Everyday Rhythms of Life. And what they actually encourage their church to do and their people to do is instead of adding mission onto your life, actually integrate it into your everyday rhythms, your everyday schedule. So they say, hey, what would it look like for you to know and live in the story of God, to listen to others, to bless, to celebrate, to suffer, to eat, to rest, to integrate into the regular rhythms of your life?
Well, and part of what Jeff would say too, and I don't know if it's a direct quote or anything, but I know what he would say is, If you say you're living on mission and you're not talking about Jesus, you're on somebody else's mission.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, every word doesn't have to be Jesus, but if you aren't regularly talking about Jesus as you are, listening and eating and, all these things with these people, you're on somebody else's mission. So it's not enough just to serve. It's to say, yes, I start out with this intent and purpose, and I'm not going to bring it up too early, but I am not going to bring it up too late. I am going to bring it up.
Yeah. So going back to Samuel's original, question, how do you disciple adults to do this? I mean, number one, it has to be a part of the culture of your church, right? Yes. It needs to be part of the illustrations that the senior pastor or lead teaching pastor is regularly communicating from. They need to live it out. The staff members, your key leaders, your deacons, your elders, everyone, the leadership of the church needs to live this out.
And celebrate when they do.
Yes,
like completely. Point it out, because everybody wants, everybody wants that.
Yeah.
Seen as that.
Exactly. And unless that's happening, there's no way you can call your people to do this if it's not being lived out from you or from the leadership of the church.
And again, those constructs have to be in place. Otherwise, people get frustrated, you get them all excited and there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to take it. So, mm-hmm. or they don't know how.
Yeah. And the beauty of, you know, what community's done with Bless. Michael Frost has another one. It's called Bells, you know, and you have Jeff Vandersell with Rhythms. And I mean, there are so many out there, but the beauty of something like that is it's simple, right? So you communicate your story, how you're doing that, how the leadership of the church is doing that. And then you give your church, hey, it just really boils down to this. I mean, you could even go simpler, right? It's called the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, right? And you just say, hey, just remember, guys, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Just love others, right? So you love yourself and serve others. You know, what Jesus did, Jesus came on the earth not to be served, but to serve, right? And to do that, to not only display and live out the gospel, but to proclaim it as well.
One of the things that, you know, when you have a purpose and a vision, that a purpose and a process, let's say, that align together, it's really powerful. And this mm-hmm. is a way that, you know, you can align yourself to think about how conviction, culture constructs could align. It's like love Jesus, love others, lead others to love Jesus.
Yeah.
Having environments that are distinctly focused on bringing people to love Jesus, bringing people to love others, bringing people to lead others to love Jesus, and then saying within those environments, what are the constructs? What are the things that make that happen? How are we making that easy? So how am I making it easy for my people to share Christ? Am I, you know, using Acts 26, Paul before Agrippa? Let me mm-hmm. outline how Paul talked about who he was before Christ, mm-hmm. how he came to Christ, what's it meant since he met Christ, and how he's different, all that stuff. And just to say, hey, let's give people easy examples so that and templates and things that those, again, constructs to yeah. help them do this and make sure it's simple, make sure it's replicable.
Yeah.
And then be sure you hold people accountable.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell Todd was really excited about that because he kept on slamming the table.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's good. Just joking, man. Anyways, well, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the episode.
Here's one more tidbit.
Okay.
Think about you want people to be developers, not doers.
Hmm.
When you look at
look
at what we're called to do as disciples, it's to make other disciples.
Yeah.
And that is a development mindset. It's not a doing mindset.
Yeah.
So we hire staff as doers. Mm. And we recruit volunteers as doers, not developers first.
No,
so staff developer needs to be yeah. development first mentality.
Yeah.
Boom. Sorry, I'm starting to wake up.
Drop the mic.
Okay. Let's close the prayer.
Well, yes, let us all stand. So, you know what? Once again, if you have a question about church planning, multi-site, or multiplication, please send those in. Any question is good. Don't be like, you know, back in school. If you have a question, you know, you think someone else is probably going to ask that question, but no, you be the one that sent that question in. You could do that by clicking send voicemail on newchurches.com. If you're on a mobile device, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. And thank you again for all those who have left a rating and review. We'll be giving out swag regularly for those of you who do. Thank you and see you next time.